Welcome to Advertising Week Europe 2024 in audio, powered by The Barbershop. In this podcast, we'll bring you the latest insights and trends from industry leaders in advertising and marketing. Join us as we dive into discussions that shape the future of our industry.
Hello, everyone. Super excited to have you all here today, and even more excited to introduce you to Tati Lindenberg from Unilever, who's come here to talk to us today about what is, I think, a complete legendary brand, and talking about how you breathe life into a legend and how you keep it fresh moving forward. And we would love, if you have any questions, we're going to try and leave a little bit towards the end. I believe if you go on to slido.com and it's hashtag innovate, then we can get your questions in. So Tati, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you.
I think what we really would love to start off with is just talking a bit about the history of Dirt Is Good and kind of where the brand has been and where it is going.
Yep. So first important thing for the ones who have no idea what Dirt Is Good is about, because it might be the case. Dirt Is Good in the UK is known as Persil, laundry detergent. If we have anyone from Vietnam, China, Brazil, it would be Omo. So the brand has different names all over the world, but it's basically the largest laundry brand in the world. And this is just a quick background in case someone is wondering what is Dirt Is Good. So a little bit of the history. Dirt Is Good was born as a brand idea 20 years ago. So we are celebrating 20 years now. And it was born in a way that Unilever wanted to unite all the top performance laundry brands that existed in Unilever back in the day under one brand idea. So to be very clear, on the contrary of Dove, for instance, another Unilever brand, Dove was born in the US and then it was growing organically to other countries as Dove. In the case of Dirt Is Good, Surf Excel in India, which is a Dirt Is Good brand, for instance, has much more than 20 years. Persil has more than 100 years. But then 20 years ago, Unilever decided to bring all of those top performance laundry brands together under the idea of that being good. And what is special about it is all the laundry advertising up until Dirt Is Good was always about showing dirty or dirt as an enemy. So it was always avoid getting dirty. And then, of course, if it happens to you can clean with another brand. And even, I have to be honest, even Persil was doing that. That was the common advertising before. And what Dirt Is Good developed or crafted was this idea and this belief that dirt can be good. So instead of an enemy, is an ally. And dirt can actually, or getting stuck in, and the idea of getting dirty can lead people and kids in particular to do wonderful things in life. So that was the big, shift. Mm. So the very perception of that changed. And then over the last 20 years, we've been building the history of the brand idea.
Which is completely amazing. I mean, I'm probably showing my age a bit here, but I remember 20 years ago working on a pitch for a certain competitor. And within the brief, it was, how do we stand out against what is such a strong brand platform? And I guess that's my next question to you, I suppose, is that, you know, how do you maintain that competitive advantage against the others in your category?
I have to say, first of all, we're kind of lucky because no one copied us yet in 20 years. But I think what is very important is we've been very true to the Dirt Is Good idea. So it's a sacred idea, I used to say. So over the last 20 years, the brand had four different vice presidents, which if you compare to other companies in our industry, it's actually very few. And it's important because each of us, including me now in my era, we've been trying to keep the Dirt Is Good idea as sacred as possible. And at the same time, what we've been trying to do is kind of find a balance between keeping the brand sacred, but at the same time, flexing it according to changes in culture or changes in the world in general. So it's kind of finding this balance between keeping what is important and never change, for instance, the Dirt Is Good tagline, the distinctive brand assets, but at the same time, having the ability and the audacity sometimes to flex it according to whatever happens in the world.
So you mentioned audacity, which I think is an amazing word. And we're at Ad Week, so it feels apt for me to kind of ask you about, like, your role and your role in actually pushing the brand and breathing new life into is exactly as you described, something that is sacred. How did you go about the new chapter for Dirt is Good?
So I like to say, and again, I will also reveal my age, that Dirt is Good has eras. And some people in my team, as you might imagine, every time I say eras, they go straight into Taylor Swift. And I keep trying to tell them that, guys, the one who invented all of it is Madonna. So let's pay respect to Madonna, not Taylor Swift. Then everyone else copied, Beyonce, Lady Gaga, and Taylor eventually. But the Dirt is Good brand has now, when I look at the narrative of the brand, eras. And in each of the different era, we were trying to show an angle of dirt being good. And more recently, when I arrived in the brand, actually, I have to say first, we started what I call the kindness era, which is a moment that we are trying to really show the sustainability efforts that we're doing in the brand. And this is when all of our communication was about tougher and staying kinder to the planet. And if you look at it, for instance, kids, in our advertising, they were shown as getting dirty by or in the process of helping the planet. So literally, we would show kids collecting plastic and getting stained on their shirts. And now, more recently, actually 1 year ago, I have to say, we started what I call the resilience era. And we did that for a business point of view. We noticed that the brand was softening a bit in terms of performance attributes. And as part of the resilience era, we are now tapping more into sports than necessarily kindness. So this is the era that we are living now.
And tell me a bit about, I mean, I'm sure people in this room have seen the latest advertisement that's out there, the autograph, which is, features the amazing Saka, but in a way that I thought was really interesting. And I would be really interested to hear about kind of how you approach a sponsorship with a giant beast that is my local football club, Arsenal. And how do you approach that in a way that isn't something that just looks off something that everybody else could do?
So to start with, the brand never had really strategic sponsorships up until last year. We would potentially sponsor one or another event, but it would be much more activation-led sponsorships than a proper long-term partnership. Because of first, we decided that it would be all about resilience and a very easy way and also very engaging way to show resilience is through sports. So we then decided that partnerships would also be a nice way not only to land the new expression of the Dirt is Good communication idea, but also a nice way to build new engagement models. I don't need to tell anyone here, of course, that I cannot, being a laundry brand, I cannot rely on TV for good, for obvious reasons. So we needed to find different ways for people to engage with the brand. And let's be honest, laundry is boring. So I needed to tap onto something that it would be more exciting than someone just like washing their clothes. That's how the partnership was born. We chose Arsenal very carefully. I apologize for any non-Arsenal fans. I do not apologize for the Man City fans because unfortunately it's very unlikely that we get the Premier League this year. But in a way, what we did was to choose the right partners for us to build more engaging with consumers than we would have otherwise. Mm.
And I suppose as well, I mean, it's really interesting the storytelling that you use when within that partnership. And I suppose it would be really interesting to hear from you kind of how you approached being able to bring out the more human side in the storytelling of that young boy and his autograph.
I don't know if everyone have, if people have seen the autograph, so I will take 30 seconds to explain what we've done just in case. So the autograph is a beautiful campaign, the first one that we crafted with Bukayo Saka and Arsenal. And the storyline is pretty much the one in which you have this little boy, he gets his Arsenal shirt autographed by Saka. He gets home, sleeps with his shirt. The following day, he's searching for the T-shirt. He couldn't find it. And then he finds the shirt eventually inside the washing machine because his parents accidentally washed. And thanks to Percy, top performance, this thing was removed first time. And then he goes on a quest, on a journey to try to get the autograph back. Eventually, at the end of the film, obviously, it's a happy ending. He finds Saka. Saka gives another autograph to him. it was really important that when I was writing down the brief for this campaign and liaising with IPG, our advertising agency, I did not want to have a film with Bukayo Saka that would be similar to the usual films you see with footballers or athletes, which is pretty much you see the athlete being the hero. If you watch the autograph, and you can find find it on my Instagram or on my LinkedIn profile or on the Persio pages or Arsenal, you see that the hero of this advertising is actually the boy. He is the one that he's the main character of the film. And Saka just happens to be there. And for me, it was really important to bring in a footballer, a star, an icon, but in a way that the story wouldn't be about him, but about the impact he has on a child. And of course, the impact of that stain that we celebrate. I know usually we don't think of an autograph as a stain, but it's pretty much how that stain was important and must be, in that case, not removed. So we really try to change the narrative of both a laundry ad, because in this case, Persio is the enemy, which is quite unusual. So Dirt is Good is the enemy. And in this case, Saka is not the hero, not the main character. So we shift completely the way that we both do, both we usually do, or Unilever in general, the industry does sports advertising and laundry advertising at the same time.
That's incredible. It's so smart. I suppose it would also be interesting to kind of dig into that point around you're approaching the way that you're marketing the brand in quite a different way. And is that intentionally to be able to reach out to different audiences now?
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
We've been trying to, it would be fair to say that when it comes to Dirt is Good, we over-index on families with kids. And this is on account of the fact that throughout these 20 years, one of our distinctive brand assets are basically grubby kids, especially in countries like Brazil, India, and Vietnam. And what we've noticed is, like, while people adore seeing kids in advertising, what happened is throughout the years, we became a bit irrelevant for the younger population. And that's why we are now pushing both our innovation program as well as the advertising to have not only going to channels that we otherwise wouldn't be, as well as having the partnerships like Arsenal. We also recently launched a product called Wonder Wash, and the product was developed for what we call urbanites. So basically younger people without kids. And we are using Usain Bolt in the advertising for the same reason. So we are deliberately now trying to make the brand as relevant for family with kids as well as for families without kids.
You've touched on a few challenges that you've faced along the way, but I suppose it'd be also really interesting to hear kind of what are the main challenges that I suppose keep you up at night when it comes to the brand?
I think at least two of them. One is about keeping the relevance of the brand. And my main worry is, one, how we maintain the brand or keep it relevant to different audiences, as I just said. So I keep checking, like, are we still relevant to plus 55 years old? Are we still relevant for families with pets? So it's a staggering data. In Brazil, for instance, you have more families with pets than families with kids. So obviously it leads to questions about how do I connect to these potential consumers or which products I have to offer. And of course, there is another important element, which is Dirt is Good is present in more than 50 countries. And because of that, I also needed to ensure that the brand is relevant throughout. So not only to a larger audience, but taking into account all the cultural nuances and also the different laundry habits all over the world. So I think that is what keeps me up at night.
That's huge. I can't imagine in one country when you have multiple washing habits, thinking about a kind of a variety of that. So I suppose it would also be good to think about, like, what's the future? What do you see is coming next?
So there is still a lot we wanted to do, and what we've been trying to do more and more is to start looking at stains, stories through the lens of the different stains. So autograph is a good example that stain is something to be cherished because it's an autograph from an idol. We also have another campaign in Argentina now called Stains of Glory, in which we do not show kids getting dirty this time around, but we show the story of this little boy who got a very special shirt, which is basically the shirt from the Argentina football team. But that shirt has all these stains that the team picked up in Qatar in the process, of course, in the 7 games leading up to the win. And that is another completely different campaign in which, instead of showing kids getting dirty and being more creative, being kinder, or being more resilient, we are actually showing the story of a stain. So, and how important that is, because it's a sign of not only a game well played, but a sign of resilience. So the future, I have to say, is all about how we keep flipping the narrative to make sure that the brand stays relevant, as I mentioned. Another very important thing is how can we also unstereotype a little bit the way in which we go about laundry. Even Arsenal, we've chosen to start working with Bukayo Saka, but I'm very proud to say that on Tuesday I'm meeting the Arsenal women's team, because the next campaign is with them, not with Saka. And also in the context of stains, I can also announce here that we are trying to also tackle and speak about stains that we usually do not want to talk about, breastfeeding stains, period stains. So we want to use the 20 years of heritage to start provoking a little bit more. Otherwise, as I said, the brand would just become like a boring laundry brand within a few years. So that's what I'm trying to say. Change the narrative, disrupt the narrative, but doing that in a way that is always about stain removal, cleaning, because I also don't want as many brands fall into the trap of getting into this idea of purpose, but not really being rooted on what I am about. And Dirt is Good is about laundry ultimately.
And how do you, and I think that's, it's so important, as you say, to kind of keep looking at the narrative of your brand moving forward. It would be really interesting to hear from you. How do you maintain that with your agencies and with your own team? Like, how do you keep pushing them to move forward and refresh narrative and look at things in different ways?
Well, one way is to often bring the team together. We have a summit here in London 2 weeks ago. Another important thing is to listen to what they bring in. I have to say that many of the most challenging provocations I had came from the countries. I would tell a quick story, for instance, during COVID, I thought that the brand should say nothing and we should just be quiet, because Dirt is Good is a brand that is usually placed and contextualized on the outside. So I realized, let's just be quiet. Everybody's saying something. We're not going to say anything. Actually, we took off air everything that it was about showing kids going outside. But then I got a call from the Argentina team on a Sunday, actually. And they told me, Tati, everybody's talking about COVID. We wanted to do something as a brand. The brand is loved by Argentinians. We don't want to be behind. And then they got this, they shared with me this proposal, which they thought it was a brilliant idea, which anyways, it was a big storyline. And the signature is, sometimes dirt is not good. I flipped. I told them there is no way on earth that we can say that dirt is not good, because dirt is always good. And but it was an interesting provocation, because what should we then do? Because we didn't want, and in that case, it was even complicated, because saying dirt is good could even lead to germs or viruses and so on. So then because of that provocation and having this, the art of dialogue, as we say, often with the markets, I pushed then my advertising agents to say, I need a response. I cannot just tell the guys, no, we don't say that dirt sometimes is not good and leave it. And this is when we came up with this very beautiful campaign called Home is Good. So we flipped, instead of saying dirt is not good, we were just saying that home can be good. And then, of course, we positioned it in a way that we were showing the type of dirt or stains or activities that you could have within your home. So that's pretty much what we do, often listening, because I think that it would be a bit arrogant of think that we know what to do it from here, from London. So that's pretty much how I'm keeping them like with me in the journey.
Which is incredible. And I couldn't agree more. Having a dialogue with the people that you're working with and being able to have that open conversation is so important and really kind of values to the brand. I think like kind of the other thing I just really wanted to touch on was about sort of, I will go back to thinking about all of these markets that you operate in and all of the different cultural insights you have to, how do you manage absorbing all those insights and picking out, just as you described, like how do you kind of take a market's voice and listen to it, but then also make sure that you're not diluting the brand as a process?
I think what is important is the idea of Dirt is Good has to be well understood by every single person working on the brand throughout the world. And you can express this, and that's why the idea is so good. We can express it in so many different ways. We can, in a way, tap onto different trends. We can tap onto different cultural aspects, but always keeping the core of the idea. And the core is, if you get stuck in, and if you often go outside or do something, you can reach or unleash your potential. So that is the core. And then you can show all the different, you can vary it in different ways. I think a good example, for instance, when we were deploying the Dirt is Good idea in India, it was not considered good at all. In fact, like many consumers, first of all, they would say, I don't want my kid to get dirty. Why would I do it? It's not a badge of honor. And then finally, what we decided to do was to show kids getting dirty in the context in which they were displaying values. So a very important difference, just to contextualize, in the UK or even in Brazil, I can show a child getting dirty and by doing so, for instance, just being more creative. But when it comes to India, we show that same kid actually helping society in the process of getting dirty. So again, it's about making sure that we keep the Dirt is Good sacred, as I said at the beginning, but adapting it to every different context. And I was never afraid of doing it, quite the opposite. I always tell the markets, my partners, say, guys, as long as we keep the brand idea, find the relevance that you have in your market, be it in India, in China, or Brazil.
And that's, again, I mean, I think as marketers, the bravery that you have to have nowadays to be kind of like able to give markets that kind of license to be able to make it their own, but also keep true to the brand is a really tough thing and admirable that you're able to do. What we just wanted to do, Tatiana, I'm really keen that we open up the floor to questions. So I see that we've got one from on the slide, but please feel free to share. But so the question here is, how can a brand keep their legacy and identity in an industry where that brands are using trends and personalization to keep relevant?
I think you just need to trust your idea and do not feel tempted to adapt it. I received so many ideas from my own advertising agencies or from other agencies that will shift to the core of the brand. And you have to resist the temptation, because sometimes it's easier just to fall into being trendy, but lose like who you are. And I am very stubborn in that sense. I'm always skipping, and I say, which is the dirt, sometimes dirt is not good point. So it's not about playing with words, but that would fundamentally shift what the brand idea is about. So it's really about trusting that what you have is good. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I have to say the brand went through moments of being less relevant. We have a middle age in our eras, but that's okay. You just trust that the time will come and we will find the right expression. So I think the longevity and thinking about the long term is extremely important, because otherwise, as you said, it's very easy to fall into traps that we see in the industry.
Completely. I'm loving this next question, by the way. It speaks to my heart around measurement, but there are so many potential points of contact with consumers. How do you measure the impact of each?
Well, being at Unilever, as you might imagine, we have a number of different tools to measure the impact of the different points of contact. We usually use the tools that most industry does in terms of seeing the impact from in-store material, from TVC, from social. What I'm finding it now a challenge And I would welcome any inputs later if anyone has, is how we measure the impact of partnerships, as an example. So that is for me something that we are still trying to figure it out. All the more traditional channels, and especially everything that comes from in-store or TV or even social, we don't do anything very different to the rest of the industry. But now we are trying to find ways in which we can measure the impact, for instance, of Bukayo Saka himself. How can I know that Saka is really contributing to the brand equity? I still haven't figured that out, full transparency.
Amazing. Well, yeah, that's certainly a question that we can take away and have a think about. I know we're coming to a close, but I suppose, Tati, I would be really amiss to not say, like, firstly, what an incredible career you've had and built for yourself. And so I guess what I would just, my last question to you would be, what advice would you give to people out there for, you know, taking on a role such as yourself and being such a titan in the industry?
Maybe I would sound very old-fashioned, but I think it's about trust, patience, and consistency. The same temptation that I said about, well, you have to resist the temptation to just go and tap onto a trend, but that would be detrimental to your idea long term. I always have the same principle when it comes to my own career. I've been in Dirt is Good now for 4.5 years, and I have no intention to not be in Dirt is Good for the next 2 years. And the reason why, again, there is so much going on that sometimes we have the temptation to say, and I have many friends that they stay 2 years in a company or in a brand, 2.5 years in another one. And I honestly do not think that you can deliver impact to consumer society and to a brand in less than 4. And that's why for me, the only advice, if I may, because it worked for me, is be patient, stay where you are and stay consistent, because that is going to pay off with time. But I know it's tough because temptations are everywhere, and but it's important that you just keep it.
I think that's so true. I think often we kind of get on a short-termist. We've got one last question. Our thinking on gender identity have changed a lot in the past 20 years. How do you stay relevant, especially to women?
The brand stays relevant in a way that we are trying to shift the role models. Obviously, as you might imagine, women has been associated to doing laundry. Dirt is Good was the first laundry brand in the world to show a man doing laundry. But we've been trying to think about gender and identity in different ways, because we've done that, a man doing laundry, 15 years back, 5 years after creating Dirt is Good. But from that point, it's not only about the gender on who does laundry, but it's also about even the way that we look at kids and families. So I was telling you about the pets and families with pets, but it's important to think about diversity, gender, identities in a different way. So it's about the role model of women, but it's also about how families are composed. So I also keep pushing the markets to say, what is the real family in your country? And trying to push the boundaries. I know we have just a minute, but I would say something that it was a shock for me. In this autograph advertising, we try to portray North London as North London is, because of course it's an Arsenal partnership advertising. And the family has a black guy and a mixed race woman. We had so many conversations about who would be the one who made the mistake of washing the shirt. You have no idea how many conversations we had. We would be the father, we would be the mother. Oh, but if it's the mother, why it's always the mother? But it's the father, it's all, the whole Barbie and Ken. Then if it's the father, but why we have to portray men as if they don't know how to do laundry? It was super complex to finally understand, like, who would do that? But surprisingly, and I will just say that another important thing to you, I chose the kid in the advertising. His name is Cassidy. He's an adorable kid. And I chose him, but he doesn't look like the boy that we are used to see in any advertising. So much so that if you look at in social media, people refer to Cassidy as the girl, as she all the time. I decided to never change that. I was like, if someone wants to, I spoke with Cassidy's mom about it, because I was like, did you realize what is happening? She said, it happens all the time with my son. And I was like, okay, fine. But you see that when we tested And I promise the first 30 seconds, you spoke about measuring impact. As you might imagine, Unilever uses Preview to measure not the impact in that case, but the effectiveness of our advertising. When we tested Autograph the first time, we got many comments from consumers saying Saka got it wrong, because Saka in the film used to say, "Hey, little man," and then Cassidy, the kid, would turn and ask for the autograph. I have to remove the "Hey, little man," because basically a lot of people got distracted with the point that Saka made a mistake. Actually, he didn't make a mistake, but I decided that it was too much to explain. So he just says, "Hey," and that's it. But anyways, I'm very aware of all the changes. Being a woman myself, and I recognize myself as a woman. I know I didn't say at the beginning, but she and her. But we are trying to change in every possible way and try to make sure that we do it in a respectful manner. Again, the whole Barbie and Ken situation. Thank you.
Amazing. Thank you so much, Tati, and thank you all for listening.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Advertising Week Europe 2024 in audio. Stay connected with us on social media using the handle @advertisingweek, and visit our website europe.advertisingweek.com for more exclusive content. This podcast was produced by Podcander, the audio conference solution.